Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Kuf. Hey, we left off on Daf Kuf Dalet and Beis. We are at Bayi Reb Lazar Parim HaNisrafim Usi'irim HaNisrafim. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landry and his wife and children, and Le'ila Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha, Allah Shalom, and Shem Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shiurim. So we're in the middle of a series of four questions that we're asking about the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask the third and fourth question relating to that. First one is the third question is going to be when figuring out if Behema was Yotzei, Chutzla Azara, do we take into account the rove of a particular limb that is partially in the Azara and partially out of the Azara? Then the final question we're going to ask is whether Parim HaNisrafim that left the Azara and then came back retain their Tara status when they come back into the Azara. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the Tumah status of the Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim and those who are Osek in them, and specifically whether the Se'irim Mishtaleach can be Metame Ochlin Umashkin even though it's alive. Normally, in order for something to be Metame, in order for an animal to be Metame other things, the animal needs to be dead. But the Se'irim Mishtaleach is alive until you throw it off the cliff. So does it have the ability to be Metame Ochlin Umashkin even as a live animal? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether Parim HaNisrafim can be Metame Ochlin Umashkin while still in the Azara, and whether a Kazayis of Nevelus of Tahar can be Metame food while it's still in your hand before you ever even put it in your mouth, let alone before it goes into the Beis Habliya. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss which types of Tumah do we count a Rishon and a Sheni from, and which types do we not count a Rishon and a Sheni from, and then the Gemara is going to discuss how we know that the Parim HaNisrafim are Metame Begadim as soon as they leave the Azara, and that they're burned outside of the Shalosh Machanos. That's going to be the last discussion of the page, that both of those halachos, how do I know that the people who are Osek in the Parim HaNisrafim are Tame to the extent that even the Begadim that they're wearing become Tame, or any Kelim that they're touching become Tame, and how we know that the Makom of the Sreifa of these things is Chutz L'Shalosh Machanos, is outside of all three Machanos. So let's begin again, five lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Kuf Dalid Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Bayi Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar raises the following question. Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim. These Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim, again, these are unusual halachos, that the halacha is not only that the entire thing gets burnt, and that it's burnt Chutz L'Shalosh Machanos, but there's a Tumas Hisaskus, that just by being Osek in it, you become Tamei to a pretty severe level. You become Tamei to even Metamei the Begadim and Kelim Sha'alav. But these Parim HaNisrafim, Se'irim HaNisrafim, Sheyatza Rubo, if the majority of the power of the Seer has left the Azara, but it's Bimiyut Ever, the majority of the animals outside of the Azara, but included in that majority is part of a limb where part of the limb is still inside of the Azara. And without that part of the limb that's outside of the Azara, or you wouldn't have a rove of the animal. So, what's the din? Do we view it as if it's mostly out of the Azara and therefore the people who are Osik in it are going to become Tameh? Or do we view it as if it's still in the Azara because that part limb that puts it over the 50% mark is mostly in the Azara? So maybe we view that limb as if it's in the Azara, and maybe you're not over the 50% mark. And the way Rashi understands that the question is about the Tumah of the people that are Osek in it, because that's one of the halachos that relate to this. As soon as it's mostly out of the Azara, then the people that are Osek in it become Tameh. Tosus asks on Rashi and says differently, that we're talking about a case where it had become Pasul, and the Nidon is whether it's Nisraf Befnim or Nisraf Bechutz, that it becomes Tameh in the, it becomes Pasul in the Azara, it never had a heter to leave, and therefore you burn it in the Azara. If it became pasul outside of the Azara, then you would be able to burn it outside of the Azara. But be that as it may, the question is, do we view it as if it's mostly out or not? Do I say that the minority of that Aver is viewed to be part of the majority of that Aver, and therefore it doesn't push you over the 50% mark? The majority of the animals still considered to be inside the Azara? Or maybe I say, no, you look at the animal in total, and there's more than 50% of the animal that's outside of the Azara, and therefore it was already Yatza. So the guy is going to be Tameh, the people are Osek in it, are going to be tamei. So says Gemara, nah, it's not a shayla. Pshita, the love shavkin and ruba de behema, vazin and basa ruba de varim. It's obvious that if you have a choice, do I look at the majority of the animal or do I look at the majority of the limb, that obviously you look at the majority of the animal and not the majority of that particular limb. Ella, the case must be, the shayla must be, sheyata chetzio birov ever. That it must be that exactly half of the par or the sa'ir went outside of the azara, but included in that half is rove of an aver that went out where the miut of that aver is still inside. So hai miuta de aver basa rove aver shadina le v'hanafak le. Do I say that the miut of that aver that's still inside is considered to be part of the part of the rest of that aver that's already outside, and therefore that pushes you over the 50% mark? What pushes you over the 50% mark is what's still inside, is what's still in the azara. That small portion of the aver that's still in the azara. Or maybe no. Maybe we connect that aver to the behemia, which is half in and half out. And when you have half in, half out, the chelik that's bachutz is considered to be bachutz, and the chelik that's bifnim is considered to be bifnim. So it's still 50-50. So teku, that where you leave is a teku, when it in reality is 50-50. But the way you got to that 50-50 is that you have a rov aver bachutz and a miut aver bifnim. Do we view that as if it's more than 50-50, then more than 50% left? Or do you view it as if it's exactly 50-50? So the Gemara says, teku, we don't have an answer to that question. Rabbi Rafuna Masna Begavri, Rabbi Rafuna taught this suffix about the people and not about the animals. Meaning the halacha is that once the animal is outside of the azara, so then the people who are misasik in it become tameh. But the people also need to be out of the azara. So he learned it that the shaila wasn't about the animals. It was about b'misaskin bo chamisha b'nei adam. What if you have three people that are misasik in schlepping this animal outside of the azara? And let's say three of the people are walking in the front of the animal holding the sticks that are carrying the animal, and two of the people are walking behind the animal. So three of the people are out of the azara, and two of the people are still in the azara. So my basarov misaskin azinan. Do we follow the majority of those who are misasek? And since rove of the people that are misasek are out, it's considered as if they're all out, and therefore even the people that are still inside are considered to be as if they left. Now l'chora, that should right away, that possibility should ring a bell that can't be true, because our Mishnah had said that the guys outside are outside and the guys inside are inside. So how can you say that when the majority are outside, then even the guys that are inside are inside? So the Karen Ora points out, no, the Mishnah might have been talking about when it's exactly 50-50. When you have four people handling it, two guys outside, two guys inside, then the Mishnah said the people that are outside are outside, the people that are inside. But over here we're talking about where there are five people handling it and the majority are outside. So maybe then I say even the people that are inside are outside, that even they are considered to have left. Oh, basa behema zinan. Or maybe no, maybe I just look at the behema and not the rov hamisaskim. We don't follow the rov by the people, we only follow the rov when it comes to the animals. So rov hamisaskim makes no difference whatsoever, and it will always be that the people on the outside are on the outside and the people that are inside are on the inside. So the pashtus that the Gemara means is that rove of the behema is bifnim, and according to the tzad that we follow rove of the behema, it's as if they didn't leave at all and nobody became tamei. But that can't be what it actually means. So that's why we assume that it means that we only follow rove when it comes to the behema, and rove hamisaskim is lomala velo morid. So teku. So phrased that way, the answer is still the same. It's a teku. The Gemara doesn't have an answer to the question. Then the final Shaila, relating to the Paramanus Srafim and Sirmanus Srafim, that's going to end in the Teku. By Rabbi Lazar, Paramanus Sirmanus Srafim, Sheyatsu v'chazru mahu. What if you have Paramanus Sirmanus Srafim that they carried them outside of the Azara and then they brought it back into the Azara? So what's the halacha of those that carried it outside of the Azara? Are they Tamei or are they not Tamei? Mi amir and kivin de nafkilu itamaluhu. Do we say that since they left, they became Tamei, and even if they go back into the Azara, the tumah doesn't leave, Odilma kiven da'adur hadur. Or maybe since they went back into the azara, it's as if they never left, and therefore they are not going to become tameh. Tosos in Dibra Maskel O, there are two Dibra Maskel O's, in the second Dibra Maskel O, the second Tosos on the page, Tosos wonders, he says, the azara is a mikveh tahara, they became tameh when they left. Now all of a sudden they go back into the azara, they're going to become tahar. The azara is not a mikveh, so that's atum chitzis azara makom tahara, dekimit shenitmu mi yitareim, so that's Tosos kasha. So, okay, so Tosos has a mahalik. So Amar Rabbi Bar Mamal Toshema. So the Gemara says, let's try to bring a raya to this suffix that it said in our Mishnah that the parman, Sirman Srafim, you have to take them out to burn them. Hayu Sovlenoson Bimotos, if the people carrying them are carrying them on sticks. Harishonin, the people that are carrying in front of the animal, Yotsu Chutzel Chomas Azara, they left the Azara and the par was with them. Vaachronim, and the people carrying it on the backside of the animal at the end, Lo Yotsu, they have not yet left the Azara. So Harishonim, Shiyotsu Chutzel Chomas Azara, Mitam Begadim, the people who had left, they're already Mitam Begadim, Vaachronim, Mitam Begadim, Hachiyetsu, but the guys in the back are not Mitam Begadim until they actually leave. But Vi'isal Kadaitach, Kivin Dinafkilu Huitamu, if you're going to assume that if they left and they came back, the people who left are Tamei and they do not revert back to their Tara status when they return, Hanathika Gavoy Litamei, then those that are still in the Azara should become Tamei, because the Yitzia is dependent on the par itself. It's not really dependent on the people carrying the par. So the par was already Yatza. Why shouldn't the people Bifnim become Tamei? So it must be the fact that they're not Tamei is because even if they had become Tamei, had they walked back in, they would have been Tar. So since physically they're still located inside, even though the Tumah is generated as soon as the par leaves, so that Tumah should be Chal on everybody that's carrying that par the second the par leaves. But these people, they go right back to being Tar because they're Chazru, because even though they weren't Chazru, because they never actually physically left, they're still inside, so it's Ki'ilu, they were Chazru. And that's why those that are Bifnim are not Tamei, because it's as if they left and they jumped right back in. So therefore, you see that when you leave and you come back in, you actually are tahar. So I'm Ravina v'tizbra. You think that Rabbi Abraham Mamal is does Rabbi Abraham Mamal make sense that he's bringing a raya from our Mishnah that the people carrying the par that are still inside the azara are tahar because even those who would go out and come back in would be tahar? No, the people who are in the azara obviously are not tamei because Rabina v'achrei ken yavol l'machna v'lecha. In order to become tamei from the par, you need to be able to say about yourself that which the Torah says for this person who became tamei that ve'achrei ken yavol l'machna, and that doesn't apply to someone who doesn't need to be yavol l'machna because he's still in the machna, he's still in the azara. So the reason for the Mishnah saying that the guys that are in the back are tahar, that had not left the azara are tahar, it's not because it's as if they returned, it's because they cannot become tamei while they're still in the azara. Ella Reb Lazar hechi ba'ila kigon de nikiti le bebakulsi. Reb Lazar's shaila was in a case where the people that are carrying it are outside and they're holding the par with sticks that where the par is still inside. So from their own perspective, they're ro'i to become tamei because they're bechutz. But the suffix is the par ro'i l'tamei, because it could be that since it was their chazer v'nichnas and it's not metame like any par that was never yotze, or maybe since it left and it went back in, the chazara doesn't count. The fact that it went back in doesn't count, and therefore it's metame esnosav. It's metame those that are carrying it. So essentially, what the Gemara is saying is that we're not talking about that the people went back in. The par went out, the par went back in, and then there are people that are osake in that par while they are outside. So that's the shaila. Are they considered to be tamei? Normally, you're only tamei if both you and the par are outside. Right? I've been brought outside of the azara. What if the par was brought outside of the azara, not by you, and then it went back into the azara, and then you started being osake with it while it was in the azara, and you're outside of the azara? Do we assume that that's considered to be enough to be metame such people who are osik in it? So the Gemara doesn't have an answer for that one either. All four of our shailas remain unanswered. Okay, on these topics, Tan Rabban, we have another brisa about the tumah of the parim and the seirim. So Tan Rabban, parim upara usir mishtalech. The parim anisrafim, the para aduma, the seir mishtalech, hamishaleach, the one who's mishaleach the seir, hasarfan, the one who burns the parim and the seirim and the para aduma, vamotzian, and the one who takes out the parim and the seirim from the azara, in all those cases, mitame begadim. They take on such a status of tumah that not only are they themselves tamei, but any kelim or begadim that they're touching at that time also become tamei. Vehein atzman, and the parim, the seirim, and the para aduma, and the seir mishtaleach themselves, ain mitamin begadim. They are not mitame any kelim that touch them, any begadim that touch them. So the people who are osek in them are mitame begadim. The animals themselves are not mitame begadim. Aval mitamin ochlin umashkin, divra meir. However, the animals themselves do have the capacity to be mitame ochlin umashkin. That's Rameir Shita. The chamomrim and the cham say, para uparim mitamin ochlin umashkin. The para aduma and the parman sirim and esrafim are mitame ochlin umashkin. But Sir Mishtalech in a Mitame. The Sir Mishtalech doesn't even do that. It's not even Mitame Ochlin Umashkin, Shulchai, Vachai in a Mitame Ochlin Umashkin. Because Sir Mishtalech is alive. The rest of the animals that we're talking about are dead. The Sir Mishtalech is alive. A live animal is not Mitame Ochlin Umashkin. So fundamentally, what everyone agrees on is that the people that are being Osek in all these things are very Tame. They're Tame enough to be Mitame, even the Begadim and the Kalim that they're touching. The animals themselves are somewhat Tameh, but they're enough to be Metameh Ochlin Umashkin. But the machlokas is, what about the Sir Mishtaleach? Is the animal itself, and Sir Mishtaleach, which is a live animal, is that Tameh, is that going to be Tameh enough to be Metameh Ochlin Umashkin? So says Mar Bishlam Rameir, I understand why Rameir holds that it is Metameh Ochlin Umashkin, Kid Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel, because he assumes like the Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel, because the Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel taught us, I'll call Zera Zerua, that the Pasuk says that when a nevela of a sheretz touches kol zera zerua sheri zereya that had touched water, so it had become okshul the kabel tuma, so it's going to be metame. So that din is only by zra'im, but not by is not only true by zra'im. It's true by all food. Meaning the halacha is, in order for a food to become tame, it needs hechsher the kabel tuma. That's the pasuk. We're only quoting a tiny portion of the pasuk in the Gemara itself, but the pasuk says, "V'chiyipol minivlasam al kalzera zeruah asher yizareya tarhu." That if any sharetz were to touch a piece of food, it's tahar. But v'chiyutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlasam alav tamei lechem. But if water were to touch that zera zeruah first, and then a nevela were to touch it, then it's going to be tamei. Why? Because it's hochshol lekabel tuma. So mazraim shein sovel netamei tuma chamura. Just like the zraim in the pasuk are things that are not ultimately going to become tamei. With the tumah chamura, they're not going to ultimately become so tamei that they become an avatuma, that they have the ability to be metamei adam and begadim utzrich and hechsher, and they require hechsher in order to have the capacity to become tamei. So af kol sheitz of the tamei tumah chamura utzrich and hechsher. So too, anything that's not going to ultimately have a tumah chamura needs hechsher in order to be metamei. So yatsa nevelus of tahar, as opposed to nevelus of tahar shesof le tamei tumah chamura, where nevelus of tahar, as soon as a person swallows it, it's a metame, the adam and the begadim that he's wearing, so it's metame in a very severe level, and therefore in tzricha hechsher, it's not going to require hechsher in order to be metame ochlin umashkin. That ochlin umashkin that touch and the velus of tahar are going to be tame, even if it doesn't touch any other tuma, and there was no hechshel kabel tuma. So I understand the sheet of Rameir that since the para, the parim, the seir mishtalech, ultimately, these things are all going to be metame tuma chamura. Well, how do I know they're going to be metame tuma chamura? Because there's the tuma sisaskus. The people that are osik and then become very tame. Therefore, they shouldn't require hechsher lekabel tuma, and also they should be able to be metame even when they're alive. So the seir mishtalech has the ability to be metame even when it's alive, because just like it doesn't have to follow the rules of hechsher lekabel tuma, it doesn't have to follow the rules that a living thing can't be metame, because it's soful the tami tumah chamura. But el rabbanan, but according to the rabbanan, that the para, the parim, the seirim, they're all metame ochlin umashkin. But the seir mishtalech, since it's alive, it's not matame ochel and mashkin. Well, I don't understand. What do the rabbanon hold? If they hold like the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, then anything that is heading down a path toward tumah chamura is metame a tumah kala. Then afilu siyum shalech. Then the siyum shalech should be included in that as well. If they don't hold like the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, then afilu parapar uparim minalan. Then even the paraduma and the parim asrafim. How do I know that they're metame? So kiyasa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he explained that Amri b'Marava, they explained in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael was to the west of Bavel, so they always called it Marava, that which Rabbi Yishmael said, that anything that's not going to be Sofa L'Tami Tum Chamura will require Hakshar L'Kabal Tumah, and anything that is going to be Tami Tum Chamura does not require Hakshar L'Kabal Tumah, he means that anything that's not going to be Tami Tum Chamura means Tzrichin Hakshar Tumah Mimakom Acher, that it has to become Tame by touching something else that will make it Tame. And anything that's Sofa L'Tami Tumah Chamura does not need to become Tame by contracting the Tumah from something else. It's Tame Ayotze Migulfo, becomes Tame on its own. He does not mean to say that if it's ultimately going to become Tame Tumah Chamura, then it's Tame even without being Roi L'Tumah, because of course it has to be Roi L'Tumah. And Balei Chayim are not Roi L'Tumah. So the Sir Mishaleach is not going to be Metame. All he meant to say is that if it's not going to be ultimately be Tame Tumah Chamura, the only way it's going to be Tame is if it contracts the Tumah from something else. So that's all he meant. So it's a reinterpretation of what the Tanna de Bei Rabbi Shmuel meant. So now it says Gemara another Shaila. Boy Rabbi Lazar, Parim and Sirim and Asrafim, these Parim and Sirim and Asrafim, Mao Shei Tamu Ochlun Amashkin, Bifnim Kibachutz. Are they able to be Metame Ochlun Amashkin in the Azara like they would outside of the Azara, where they're certainly Metame Ochlun Amashkin? Meaning, since eventually they're going to be Metame Tumah Chamura Bachutz, do we at least, while they're Bifnim, at least give them the status of a Tumah Kala? Do they at least have the ability to be Metame Ochlun Amashkin? Granted, Adam, Begadim, Kalim, that only wants it's Bachutz and it's Metame Tumah Chamura. But while it's still in, could it at least be Metame Tumah Kala to be Metame Ochlun Amashkin? Mechus Yisiyah Kemechus or Maisa Dami? Do we assume that it should not be considered at this point something that's Sofa L'Tame Tumah Chamura, because in order to get to that point, you still need a significant Maisa, which is the Yitziyah, and it didn't yet get to that point? Although, or maybe no, maybe Mechus Yisiyah, the fact that it's not yet outside of the Azara, that's not considered Mechus or Maisa, and it's considered right now as if it's Sofa L'Tame Tumah Chamura, and it's Metame right away, but so says Mar Basar de Baya Hadar Pashta, Mechusar Yisir Ka Mechusar Maisa Dami. This Shaila we actually have an answer to, that if it needs to be taken out in order to become Tameh, then it's missing a significant Maisa, and therefore it is not Tameh. So by Minar Rabbi Abra Shmuel Minar Rabbi Chibaraba, I'll ask you another similar Shaila about something that ultimately is heading down a path toward Tumah Chamura. Nivlas of Tahar le Rabbi Meir, Mao Shei Tameh Bekazayas. What about Nivlas of Tahar, according to Rabbi Meir, is going to be able to be Metame Ochlin with a Shir Kazayis? Because ultimately it's going to get to a point of Tumah Chamura where it's going to be Metame Bebeis Abliya. So the Machta La'ara Lo Tibayilach. If this Kazayis of the Nivlas of Tahar was on the ground, then it was just sitting on the floor, there would be no Suffolk. Then for sure it's not able to be Metame Ochlin Umashkin, because you can't call it something that's Sofal Etami Tumah Chamura. Nivlas of Tahar, important point, is only Metame when it's in the Beis Habliya. If you have a kosher bird that died without Shechita and you eat a Kazayis of the meat of that bird, when you swallow it, you become Tame and all your begotten become Tame. That's where it gets, it's Tumah Chamura. So if you have a kezayis of such a bird just sitting on the floor, can you really say that it's Sofa L'Tami Tumah Chamura? Do I know that anyone's ever going to pick it up? Do I know that anyone's ever going to put it in their mouth? Do I know that anyone's ever going to swallow it? You can't call that Sofa L'Tami Tumah Chamura, and therefore right now it doesn't have Tumah Kala. Dinakit Pepume, if it's already in a guy's mouth, Loti Vayilach, then you also have no Shaila. Then you know that for sure is Sofa L'Tami Tumah Chamura. It's on its way to his throat. It's in his mouth. That's the very definition of Sofa L'Tame Tumah Chamura, and therefore at that point, if there's other food in his mouth, it will be Metame, the other food in his mouth, with a Tumah Kala. Kiti Bayilach, the Shaila is when it's halfway in between. Denakate Biyade, he already picked it up off the floor, he's holding it in his hand. So Mechusar Kreva Ka Mechusar Maisadami is the lack of bringing it close to your mouth. Is that considered a Mechusar Maisa, and therefore it's not considered Sofa L'Tame Tumah Chamura? Or do we say, nah, now, all you're missing is just moving your arm a little bit, and you'll put it in your mouth, and then it's, therefore it's already considered sofa l'tame, tuma chamura. So we take out the words basar debaya hadar pashto, because we assume that it was Rabbi Abba bar Shmuel, the Gemara said, that was asking from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So the next line is Rabbi Chiya bar Abba talking. It wasn't Rabbi Abba bar Shmuel who answered his own question. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba answered him, muchasur kreva, love kemuchasur maisa dami. That the fact that it hasn't yet been brought to your mouth, that's not considered muchasur maisa, and therefore we view it as if it's sofal tami tuma chamura, and therefore it already has the capacity to be metame tuma kala. So the Gemara says, Eisve. Rabbi Abba Rabbi Shmuel challenges Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that we have a Mishnah Maseches Taharos, the first Mishnah Maseches Taharos, Shlosha Asar Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlas of Tahar, that there are 13 things that we say about a nevela of a kosher bird. Zeh Echad Mehen, and one of those 13 things is that Tzricha Machshava, that you have to have a Machshava that you're going to eat it, because if it's less than Gazayas and it's not Omeid L'tame Tumah Chamura, it's not going to be Mitztarif to Pachas Mikabetza of Och in order to be mekabel tuma, ve'ein tzricha hechsher, and it does not require hechsher, meaning it doesn't need water to be huchsher lekabel tuma, you know, water to touch it to be huchsher lekabel tuma, and nor to touch anything else in order to become tame, meaning the fact that it's sofal tame tuma chamura means it's inherently tame on its own without going through the normal processes of becoming Tameh. Again, the normal process of becoming Tameh is you need two things. You need to come in contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin in order to be Machshir L'Kabel Tumah, and then you need to come in contact with Tumah in order to become Tameh. But that which ultimately itself is going to be Metameh Tumah Chamura, automatically it has the Tumah Kala. It doesn't have to touch anything Tameh. It doesn't need Hechshir L'Kabel Tumah. Umetameh Tumah Sa'ochlin B'Kabetza. And it's, if it's a Kabetza, it's Metameh Tumah Sa'ochlin. So we said that the Nevelos of Tar is only considered to be Sofal Metameh Tumah Chamura if it's already in your mouth, or if it's already in your hand, at least, right? That's what that was the previous sugya we just learned. That since a nevelos of tar does not require hach, now since this mishnah in Taros is telling us that a nevelos of tar doesn't need hachshel lekabel tumah, and the reason that it doesn't need hachshel lekabel tumah is because it's sofal tami tumah chamura, it must be talking about where it's not sitting on the floor, because we said before that if it's still sitting on the floor, then it's not sofal tami tumah chamura. It's only considered sofal tami tumah when it's in your hand or it's in your mouth. So since the Mishnah says that you still do require machshava, it must be that it's not in your mouth. Because if it's in your mouth, the ein machshava gedola mizu. Machshava means that you have a machshava to eat it. When it's in your mouth, you're already eating it, so you already had a machshava. So the only, you know, we're narrowing the window. We're talking about a nevelos of tar. It's got to be a nevelos of tar that you're holding in your hand. If we're on the floor, then it's not sofal tami tumah chamura. If it's in your mouth, it wouldn't require machshava because you already have the machshava. So it must be that it's in your hand, and we're saying that it needs machshava in order to be metame. So my love, Rav Meir, isn't this Mishnah assuming like Rav Meir? And it turns out that a nevelos of tar is metame tumah sochlin only if it has a sheer kibetza. So you see that even though you're holding it in your hand, since it's mechusar kreva, it's mechusar maisa, and therefore it's not going to be mitame b'kazayis, it's not considered right now as if it's sofal tami tumah chamura against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So it says, well, lo, Rabbanan hi. Nah, the Mishnah in Taros is not going like Rameir, it's going like the Rabbanan. So you cannot figure out, based on that Mishnah, what the sheet of Rabbi Meir would be. Says Gemara, the Mishnah in Taros is not going like Rameir. V'katani reisha, if you look at the entire Mishnah, you look at the beginning of the Mishnah, it says tzricha machshava ve'in tzricha hechsher. The only reason is because because of Rabbi Yishmael, that anything that's sofal tami tumah chamura does not require hechsher. Uman sham lehay svara, who's the one that we know that holds like Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Meir. That's the Rabbi Meir, like we just said. So midresh Rabbi Meir sefanam Rabbi Meir. If the resha is assuming like Rabbi Meir, so it stands to reason that the hemshich of the Mishnah, which says that it's Tumasa B'Kabetza, is also like Rabbi Meir. So apparently, even according to Rabbi Meir, it's not Metame B'Kazayis, not like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said. So it says Maramidiyah. Who told you that just because the beginning of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, the end of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? Hakadisa V'Hakadisa. Maybe each part of the Mishnah was authored by someone else. Beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, end of the Mishnah is the Chamim. No, but V'Amid Ketani Seifa, The Mishnah goes on to say, Shchitasa umlikasa mitaharis trefasa, that the shchita or the malika of an ov tahar will be mitar trefasa mitumasa, will be mitar a trefa from becoming, from having the status of a nevela. Uman shamat lehai svara rameir. And that's the shita of rameir that we learned back 30 blot ago or wherever it was, that whereas other Tanaim disagreed with him over there, meaning everyone agrees that a behema that's shechted, even if it's trefa, it's obviously it's also ba'achila, it's not going to be a nevela, right? Because it went through a shechita. If you take a behema and you shecht the behema, this happens all the time. They shecht the cow and they in the shechtes they check the cow and they find that it's a trefa. It does not have tumas nevela. You're not allowed to eat it because it's a trefa, but it does not have tumas nevela. Why doesn't it have tumas nevela? Because it didn't drop dead. You shechted it. The shechita works to take away the tumas nevela. But we had a machlokas tanoim about 35 blot ago, when it comes to an oaf, do we say the same thing? If you shecht an oaf and the oaf turns out to be a trefa, do we just say, nah, the oaf is a nevela, it's kilu and never had shechita, or not? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oaf is different than a behema, and therefore an oaf that's a trefa, even if it was shechted, has a status of a nevela. Whereas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi say that no, an oaf is just like a behema, an oaf, if you shecht it, is not a nevela, and therefore it may be a trefa, so you can't eat it, but it's not going to have tumas nevela. But even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi themselves disagree. What about if you did a malika on the oath? Does malika also take away the status of nevela? If the oaf were a trefa, according to Rabbi Yossi, malika does not work for an oaf that's a trefa, and the oaf is going to have a status of nevela. But according to Rabbi Meir, even just doing a malika on an oaf that turns out to be a trefa, it takes away the nevela status. So since the Mishnah over there says that whether it's a shechita or whether it's a malika, it's going to work to be mitar the trefa from its tumah, that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The only Rabbi Meir holds that way. So now you're going to tell me, Reisha v'seifa Rabbi Meir, umetziyasa Rabbanan, beginning of the Mishnah, end of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and the middle of the Mishnah is Rabbanan. That defies all logic, all seder. Why would you write a Mishnah that way? So it says, yeah, in Reisha v'seifa Rabbi Meir, umetziyasa Rabbanan, meaning it could be. So since it could be, you can't bring any rayas as to what sheet this Rabbi Meir is, because it could be that the middle of the Mishnah is the Rabbanan, that it's a break in sheet this Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir at the beginning, Rabbi Meir at the end, the Rabbanan in the middle. He said, don't sit down until you explain to me something. I couldn't sleep last night. I had the following shayla. Well, most of us lose sleep over. The nevelos of tar, according to Rabbi Meir, holds that it's mitami to makala, even if it only is the size of a kazayas. Do you follow rishon and sheni? Meaning, do we assume that a food that touches it becomes a rishon l'tuma, and another food that touches that becomes a sheni? Or do you are not mona rishon l'sheni, that only the thing it touches becomes tame as a sheni, but it never has the capacity to transmit that tumah to something else? Essentially, we're asking, is this nevelas of tahar that's only a kazayas, do we assume that, meaning because it's so full of tame tumah chamura, that's why it has the ability to be metame tumah kala, is it an avatumah or is it a rishon tumah? That's what we're asking. If it's an avatumah, then that which it touches becomes a rishon, that which touches that becomes a sheni. If it's a rishon, then it can make something a sheni, but that's it. So amalei kol heicha de mitame adam b'maga, any time that any tuma that could be mitame a person that touches it, monu barishon v'sheni, then it's considered an avatuma. Kol heicha de mitame adam b'maga, in monu barishon v'sheni, anything that cannot be mitame a person that touches it is not an avatuma, and is not, and therefore does not carry on to a rishon v'sheni. So by nevelos of tar, it's not mitame b'maga. It's not mitame adam b'maga. It's only mitame ochel mashkim. So mele will only make a sheni. It's not going to make a rishon sheni. By minei Rabbi Zeru mirabi Ami bar Chia va'amrila mirabi Avin bar Kahana haditzan chiburi ochel alidei mashkin. That which we say that if you have two tame foods that are connected with a mashke, let's say you have two pieces of nevela, but each piece of nevela is smaller than a kazayis, so it's not big enough to be tame, to be mitame things. But these two pieces that are each smaller than a kazayis, let's say you have two pieces that are each 3/4 of a kazayis big, so they're connected through a mashke, through some sort of liquid that connects them to one another. So chibur Do we consider them to be now one big piece, and therefore they have the ability to be metame l'tumakala? In order to be metame tumakala, any ochlu mashkim that touches them, ve'in chibur. Not do we? It's saying chibur l'tumakala ve'in chibur l'tumachamura. But it's not considered chibur to be metame adam v'kelim. So monin barishon v'sheni o'ein monin barishon v'sheni. With this chibur that's able to be metame tumakala, do we assume that anything that touches it becomes a rishon l'tuma? Do we give it the status of an avatuma, and therefore that which touches it becomes a rishon l'tuma, or do we not give it the status of an avatuma? So again, this chatzi, let's say slightly bigger than chatzi zayis, or exactly chatzi zayis of nevela, and another chatzi zayis of nevela that are held together by a liquid, are not able to be metame adam v'kelim, but are able to be metame ochlin u'mashkin. The question is, to what degree are they metame ochlin u'mashkin? When it touches ochlin u'mashkin, do those things become a rishon, or do those things become a sheni? So amalei kolecha de metame adam monu barishon sheni ein metame adam ein monu barishon sheni. Very simply, if it were strong enough to be metame adam, then it would be an avatama. If it's not strong enough to be metame adam, which it is not, then it is not an avatama. Then it's only a rishon. But this idea that you have this thing, these two little pieces of food that are connected by some liquid, that it has the ability to be metame on a tuma, like a tumakala. So Tosos points out the following issue. Tosos brings the Tosefta that an esrog that gets broken and they connect it together with using a splinter or something, that it's not considered a valid chibur to use a toothpick to hold it together, because a chibur adam is eno chibur. So the Panim Miros writes that l'chora, that's a stira to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, because the Panim Miros points out that chiburi ochlin al yidei mashkin in our Gemara, shnei chatzai zesim of nevela that are connected through a mashka, and that's enough to be metame ochlin u'mashkim that it touches, but it's not enough to be metame adam v'kelim. And Tosus points out that an esrog that's held together by a toothpick is not considered a real chibur. Says the Panim Meiros, this is against a certain halach in Shulchan Aruch. What halach in Shulchan Aruch? Beis Yosef writes in Orchaim Simon Kuf Samaches in the name of the Rokeach, that if a person has two half loaves of bread and he doesn't have a full loaf of bread, you can connect them with a toothpick or with anything else to make it look like one full loaf of bread, and then it's going to be shalem, because you're supposed to be botzea on a shalem and not on a prusa. And not only that, you could be yotzei lecha mishnah on that. And he brings a raya from Erev Chatzeros that you could do, you're supposed to do with a pas shlema, and if you connect it with a toothpick, that's going to work as well. Paskin la'alacha in Shulchan Aruch. So says the Panim Meiros, this l'chora is against our Tosfos, our sugya and our Tosfos, because the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef and the name of the Rokeach says you could connect it with a toothpick, and brings a raya from the fact that it works to be mechaber with a toothpick for Erev Chatzeros. But maybe you could say that they're not at all the same, that by Erev Chatzeros you need pashlema, that's because of Eva, that no one, that you shouldn't say that the guy brings that this guy is bringing pashlema and someone else is bringing a prusa, that you don't want it to be unequal. So therefore the chavur mitzaken that everybody's got to bring a pashlema. So since the whole thing is mishum eva, so therefore to connect it with a toothpick is going to be good enough because it looks like a pashlema. But as far as Shabbos, you actually need a shalem, and a chibur is not a shalem. So chibur al yidei adam is not a chibur, and it's not a shalem. So the Panim Meiros points out, based on our Tosfos, that any chibur b'dei adam is not enough to make something a shalem, like you see in our Gemara, when you have this chibur with only the liquid. And therefore, even though, yes, it works for an Eruv, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work when it comes to Lecha Mishnah. Okay, so Achronim have answers for that, because that's, it is Allah and Shulchan Aruch. So Yatzu Elu Ve'elu. So we then said in the Mishnah, when it comes to the Tumah of the people who are Osek in the Parman Asrafim and Sirim Asrafim, that if the first people left the Azara, so they're Tameh, and the people that haven't yet left are still Tahar. So the Rishonim are Matameh Begadim, the Achronim are not Matameh Begadim. But Yatzu Elu Ve'elu, when they both leave, then they're all Tamei begadim. So minani mili. How do I know that as soon as the par leaves the azara is mitamei begadim of the people that are osek in the par? To Tanu Rabbanon, because we have a brisa when it comes to the par Yom Kippurim. Lahalon by par koin Mashiach and by param dovah shel tzibur who omer chutz l'shalosh machanos. I know you have to bring it outside of all shalosh machanos, not only outside of the azara, not only outside of the arabais, but even outside of all of Yerushalayim. V'kan by the par Yom Kippurim it says l'machana achas. It says that you have to bring it outside of the machna, so it sounds like you burn it outside of the machna zara on the harabayis, just outside of the machna shechina. But could that be the parim are all learned from one another? So it must be that they're all outside of shalosh machanos. And that which it says by the par yom kippurim that you bring it outside of the machna, lomer lecha kivan sheyotzu chutz machna achas mitami begadim. It must be telling me another din, not the location of where you burn it, but that as soon as you bring it outside of the azara, right away you become it's Tame begotim v'higufa minhalan. But wait a second, this din that the Mishnah took for granted, that the burning is done outside of shalosh machanos, where do we see that? Where do we learn that from? Ditan Rabban, the Brisa tells us as follows. It says by the par koin Mashiach votzias kalapar el michutz lamachana, it says you bring it outside of the machana, so that's chutz l'shalosh machanos. It means outside of all three machanos. Atom l'shalosh machanos v'enu l'machanachas. Who says? It just says bring it chutz l'machana. Maybe that just means outside of the azara. Kishuam repara eda, no, but it says by Param Dovah Shel Tzibor, Michutz L'machane, Shein Tzorech Lomar. You don't need to tell me the Param Dovah Shel Tzibor is brought Chutz L'machane. Sorry if the audio went out there, someone's trying to call me. So it says by Param Dovah Shel Tzibor that it's brought Chutz L'machane, Shein Tzorech Lomar, Sharei Kvar Nemar, because it already says in this in the very same pasuk by Param Dovah Shel Tzibor, Kasher Sarif Esapar Harishon, that it's the same as Par Kohen Mashiach. So why does he have to mention Chutz L'machna again? Litin L'machna Shnia. To tell me not only outside of the Machna Zara, outside of the Arbayis. And then Kshuam Chutz L'machna B'deshen. Then when it says by the Deshen Chutz L'machna Shein Tzorech Lomar, which it doesn't need to say, Sharei Kvar Nemeral Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif, Litin L'machna Shlishis. So that's to give me, that's to let me know that it's outside of even a third Machna. So essentially it says Chutz L'machna four times, three of them to teach me that it's Chutz L'shalosh Machnos, that the burning of all these things are Chutz L'shalosh Machnos, and a fourth time to tell me that when you bring these Parim and Asrafim outside of the Azara, outside of the very first Machna, it's already going to be Mitamei Begadim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with V'Rabbi Shimon. Everyone have a great day.